This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Gamelan music and performance has been a part of local Malay culture since the early 19th century, and a group of young practitioners have founded a group called Gangsapura, with the aim of keeping the art alive and bringing it into contemporary times. As part of these efforts, they will be starting a four-week introductory course on Gamelan at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Center this weekend. Joining me today are co-founders of Gangsapura, Teuku Umar Ilani Teuku Iskandar and Nur Diana Nadira Shaharuddin. Thank you for joining me.
No problem. Pleasure is ours. Yeah.
So how did the both of you develop an interest in gamelan?
I was exposed in the gamelan world, basically since my early years in secondary school. So from there, I started to learn about the traditional music through the Malay gamelan tradition. So, and then I enrolled to Aswara because I know that Aswara is the leading university championing the traditional arts, same as the contemporary arts. So I graduated from Aswara Arranging and Composition and currently teaching at Aswara as a lecturer and teaching music and Malay gamelan.
And how about you, Diana?
Well, for me, it started in secondary school. In Malacca, my school had a gamelan set, and my class was Rancangan Khas in Music. So it's actually compulsory for us to learn gamelan, and the love developed there. And then I went into University Technology Petronas. So coincidentally, they do have a gamelan group there. So I developed further with UTP gamelan group. And when I graduated, I continued to play gamelan in Kuala Lumpur. Alongside Mr. Umar, we founded this group to further enhance and elevate the value of Malay gamelan.
What is the idea behind Gangsapura?
Well, for Gangsapura, our vision with this group is for Mr. Umar, he had the leverage and the instruments when he is around the industry. So he is within Aswara and he's been living around that industry. He knows people. It's an easy access. So for people like me that have enthusiasm and we really are interested in performing, but we do not have the platform for it. So what our vision is when we founded this group is to provide these opportunities to those that doesn't further their studies in traditional arts performance. So we would like to just provide a platform for those that are not studying this officially in their university.
Not many people know about the gamelan tradition. That is one thing. And then when you learn in the university, it is a privilege for you to come to the university and then to know about the tradition. But when you left university, you don't know where to go so that you can continue your tradition. So basically, we want to promote and bring awareness about the beauty of our traditional Malay gamelan, and that's why we have worked alongside various schools, private organizations, and individual clients to help curate workshops, seminars, and masterclasses to further educate the community about the importance of heritage preservation.
And what does Gangsapura do? What are some of the ways in which you are preserving these traditions?
So currently, we are creating these classes. So other than that, these are the first public classes that we are opening to public to join.
The one that's starting this weekend, is it?
Yes, correct. So our classes will start on the 7th of April. So this is actually the first public collaboration that we've done, because we are founded in 2016. So if people doesn't know, gamelan instruments are very, very expensive. So for us to we do not have the instruments yet. So we had a collaboration with KLPAC because they do own the instruments, but they don't have instructors. So it's a win-win situation there. So we provide public classes. But before this, what we do is performances in festivals and also workshops and seminars for private organizations and universities.
Who are some of the other founders or the people who are part of Gangsapura currently?
Before we even created Gangsapura, we've been performing with our friends. So many of them from music enthusiasts, musicians, even students, and basically Malay gamelan enthusiasts. So they want to perform or they want to engage themselves maybe weekly just to come and then share the musical community process in playing the music and all. So from there, all of us have been talked about we better create a group that at least people can come and go and to experience, just to share. And then even in our website, we are starting to post pictures and journals about the music so that we can share. If people couldn't come to our space, then maybe they can just come to our website to know about the music and the history behind the Malay gamelan.
As you mentioned earlier, Diana, a gamelan group is not an easy endeavor, partly because of funding, and then you need many kinds of support.
Yeah.
How are you guys working around these areas? Where is your funding coming from?
Okay, for now, it's mainly from performances. So private performances and gigs are mainly paying for our expenses. For now, we have two co-founders, which is me and Mr. Umar. And we have another tutor and several musicians and composers as well. So what we are trying to do is also recruit some other new musicians that we can help empower within the traditional arts industry. So for now, what we try to is me and Mr. Umar, Mr. Umar especially, is well known in the industry. So people are looking for him to find traditional musicians and we help to curate that and manage the talents so that our musicians are also well known in the industry as well.
What made you want to go beyond performing and awareness and to actually start doing public courses?
Oh, because I think it is so normal that we feel, I mean, the music community, the musicians community, that we thought that the music or tradition is already known to the public. But I think that we need more empowerment to telling people that the arts is here, that you can get in the urban areas. Mm. Because it's not easy to find a place where you can learn the traditional context of music. Because before this, the gamelan or puppet shadow play, it came from court.
Mm-hmm.
Or kampung-kampung or palace, you know. So to find, even from Western researchers have to come, they had to come to the particular places so that they can learn and to do research. So here we think that by creating classes in urban areas, people can easily come and learn and then can spread the news through social medias, you know, because we are in the world of
technology,
so you can reach everything. So we want to take that chance to spread the traditional arts.
Do you think it also makes a difference that you are all young people and so you bring a new and fresh approach to this whole thing?
Personally, it's not easy to find people who really love to play traditional music, because you already have, in a way, you have music school that based on modern music or traditional or classical music, you know, the violin, the pianos and the guitar. But we don't have a school or academy for traditional music.
Mm.
So I think it's about time for us. Maybe this is the start for us to start the classes. And then maybe we have to win the people's heart first.
Mm.
Because they don't really know what is it all about. So from there, when we create the interest, and then we can start from there.
Why do you both like gamelan so much?
I don't know. I think it resonates close to my heart. Unlike Western music, it's very common to us. It's very pop. It's pop culture. It's mainstream. You hear it in the radio every day. And with gamelan, it's very different when you play it. The resonance of the instruments, it's very close to me. I think that's the reason why. And the more I learn about it, the dance behind it, the history behind it, it's much more than just the music. Because you really have to sit with the players, with the musicians, for you to experience the whole resonance and the beauty of the music itself. So I find that it's very hard to replicate that with modern instruments.
I think it's all about the engagement when you play among your friends or the community. Because music generally it's not about the physical thing, but it's about the connection between all of us as a musician playing at the same time, achieving something or reaching something at the end of the music, you know. And the special with the gamelan for me, when the gong ends at the end of the song, it resonates, and the sense of completion is so powerful for me.
So what is Gangsa Pura's approach to teaching Malay gamelan?
For us, what we experience, for me personally, how I experience gamelan, that is how our classes will be. It's not just you read the notes and the notation and you play the music. It's you experiencing the whole vibe of Malay gamelan. So you have to know the ways of you to sit, ways that the old musicians used to sit, and all this are a part of your experience. So the way, because it's bronze, so the way you handle the bronze and all this are the experience that you will get when you join our class. So it's not just come in, learn a song and you leave. It's more of a community that we would like to build. So after you finish with the courses, we will still have you in our Facebook page and Instagram. So we will still reach out to you for showcases and all. So it's not just learning a one-off experience. It's an ongoing learning that we are trying to provide for through our classes.
I'm speaking to Teku Umar Ilani Teku Iskandar and Nur Diana Nadira Shaharuddin, co-founders of gamelan group Gangsa Pura. We'll be back shortly after a break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Teku Umar Ilani Teku Iskandar and Nur Diana Nadira Shaharuddin, who are both co-founders of gamelan group Gangsa Pura. They are talking to us about their unique approach to introducing Malay gamelan to a whole new audience in Malaysia. So I understand that there are different kinds of gamelan. You teach Malay gamelan, but there's also Javanese gamelan, there's Balinese gamelan. What is the difference?
We can clearly know that whether it's a Malay gamelan or Balinese gamelan or the Javanese gamelan through the music. Because in the Balinese music, we can immediately know that it's Balinese music for musicians especially. The kind of music is so energetic and so fiery. And it's also related to complex rhythmic patterns and playing with loud and soft of the sound. So with Javanese, we can feel the tonality is different. So usually the Javanese will accompany the dance, the traditional dance. The Javanese music, in a way, have a various tempo, mostly a slower tempo, more relaxed. But in Malay, it's in between. Mm-hmm. It's not too fast and not too slow, because the Malay gamelan also accompanies the dance called joget gamelan. So it's also melodious.
Is the way of playing different?
Generally the same, because what makes them different is the music itself. The Balinese technique, there's a unique technique in Balinese. The kotekan or the interlocking technique with the bilahan instrument. And then, but the way we stroke the instrument is still the same. Mostly is, the difference is all about the music lah.
And I understand, Umar, you are a composer as well. Mm-hmm. So you compose specifically the Malay gamelan style?
I compose music for the Malay gamelan. And I also compose for various kind of gamelan. But usually I compose contemporary music. So there's a lot of stages that I have been went through. So from composing for traditional music up to using a different instrument or borrowing modern instrument into Malay gamelan or just do experiment or contemporary music.
So the kind of classes that Gangsapura aims to teach, will it be more traditional kind of music or will it be contemporary?
Our projection for this year is actually to give a sweet taste of it first. So we're going into traditional and teaching the basic and the foundation of the way of playing Malay gamelan. So from there, when we created this interest and demand, we will further develop our syllabus to include also contemporary pieces because we have two composers in-house. So why not make use of them?
How about when you guys do performances? Do you perform both contemporary and traditional?
Yes, we do perform both. For our private gigs and performances, it depends on the budget and what kind of performance or music that they are looking for their show. So if they would like traditional, all of our musicians are well equipped and they are well knowledgeable about Malay gamelan in traditional context, but they are also well developed to perform contemporary pieces as well.
So far, what is the response from young people in terms of Malay gamelan?
I think the interest is growing due to the fact that more institutions and organizations are reaching out to the people through competition of Malay gamelan competition, like what they did in Terengganu. And then in universities also, they have more courses in traditional music, especially gamelan and wayang kulit, Kelantan and Cak Lempong. So in my opinion, the interest has to start from early age so that they know earlier about the music and they know where to go to.
But is there really a place in today's world for something like gamelan music?
For me, there's always a way to rediscover and revisit our old cultural heritage. So we have zapin, we have those dances that we preserve for so long, and it's still relevant till now. So the difference with gamelan is the only disadvantage is it's not as easy to access as dances because you need to have the instrument to actually learn it. And the fact that the only organizations that owns gamelan now are private organizations. So it's not available for the public community. So with what we are trying to achieve here is to have those instruments available for the public. And we are hoping in time, in 5 or 10 years from now, it'll be as relevant and as well known to the community as zapin and all those dances.
And why is it so important for young practitioners like yourself to come forward and take the initiative to make gamelan something that is relevant?
I think it's about time we address about who you are, or jati diri in a way. Mm. Because to know yourself, is you need to know your past, maybe through traditional music or arts in general. Because there's a reason the heritage is there for us to learn from. You know, music is not about just playing the music. It's all about the discipline, playing together. And there's adapt discipline in for you to approach the music, you know, for you to enjoy with everyone. It's not about you playing alone, but to feel with everyone and then playing together. So I think it's all about learning yourself while playing the music.
Learning gamelan, it's about the discipline. So how you sit when you play, and the way you have to control yourself when you play, when it's loud or soft. Those things, somehow when you start playing it from the early age, it develops into your characters as well and your traits. And those experiences do affect your personality. It depends on what you are exposed to from an early age. So exposing to traditional music are not bad, because people in Malaysia, the community, they know ballet and piano, so they send their kids to these Western classes without having the opportunity to learn about our own culture here, that we can learn as well, that will also provide and teach the same discipline to the children.
Anyone can learn the instrument. And it's all about sharing what we already have. If we don't share, then who will share and who will champion the tradition?
What kind of support is available for traditional arts like gamelan in Malaysia currently? And do you think that it's sufficient? Do we need more?
Currently, we Cendana just launched, and government agency just launched. So that is a very good initiative from the government. But before this, actually, arts and culture have really, especially traditional arts and culture, have trouble finding fundings, because we have to approach usually more selected companies. So not all companies are providing towards arts and culture. So now I'm seeing a trend that it's growing. Our arts and, since Cendana, so more companies are well exposed to these opportunities. So I'm also trying to approach these companies about what we are coming from and why we are here.
What are some of the challenges that you are facing in making gamelan relevant and making it contemporary?
I think the very first challenge that we had is the instrument itself. So the instrument is not one or two instruments. It's a collective of instruments. That's what we call gamelan. So the instrument is not cheap. It's quite expensive. And then the only way for you to have it is you have to go to Solo, Indonesia. Because in Solo, they make gamelan there. And there's the only
area,
district that can make gamelan. And we are still looking for funding to get to have our own gamelan instrument. But thank to KLPAC for helping us to create classes.
And also the general challenges is for us to, for companies that are, or organizations that are well aware about gamelan, it's okay. And then some of them maybe came across our videos on YouTube or came across our website and contacted us. And I think there are still double standard in the industry, as in a Western musician and traditional musician. So the pay they are expecting, our pay are lesser. But actually, we need more, because the instruments are heavy and we need insurance for it. We need transportation for it. So those are the general challenges, because people are not well aware of all of these liabilities that comes with it. So to educate and for them to know that we are worth it, it's very challenging. For them to get to know us and know what we are worth of is one of the big challenges.
What about interest from people wanting to learn and wanting to be involved? Is that challenging?
I think because we are close to the industry, we know we do have a group of followers, especially for Umar. He's been around for a while in the gamelan industry, so he do know communities and people that graduated from universities and they do not have a channel to further play gamelan, but They are now everyday workers, blue-collar workers, but they are still interested in pursuing playing gamelan on their off days and on their weekends, but they don't have the platform to. So these are the people that we keep close so that when we develop Gangsapura to be on to the next level, these are the people that will be supporting us as well.
So you have a 4-week introductory course coming up, and you're calling it New Insight with Malay Gamelan. Who is this aimed at?
We are aiming this to, right now this class is for adults. So we are actually aiming people in the urban area to get to know Malay Gamelan from the foundation of it. So when people hear Gamelan, there are always superstitions and myth around it that people just, oh, gamelan is boring, that's the only music that, I mean, that Timang Burung, that's the only song you know.
Or oh, gamelan berhantu, you know.
Yeah, those myths and superstitions that we want to combat. So through this new insight with Malay Gamelan, this class is, as I said earlier, it's not just you coming in or this is the song, you learn this for 4 weeks and it's the end of it. It's you learning about the history of it, where it comes from, how do you handle the instruments, and get to know people in the industry. And maybe from there, they will have more interest to further learn and educate people around them. So from there, we are spreading the news.
And you can come in with completely no background or experience in gamelan?
Yes, you can, because we're going to expose you with various techniques of playing gamelan. So from, well, we're going to teach the technique from zero. So we go step by step, knowing the instrument, how to play the instrument, how to approach to the instrument when you want to hammer it, or how to feel the sound, you know, how to phrase the melody, and then how do you want to react to the dance. So it's all about call and response musically.
And how many students will you be able to take on for the course?
So we are opening 2 slots for April classes. So it's 10 to 12 and 2 to 4. So every class maximum is 11 because we have 11 instruments. And minimum is 8. So we have 1 class occupied now. So we are opening the other class for registration.
And do you plan on doing this continuously?
This is actually, we are testing the water with the short courses. So what we are planning, if the demand is good, for now, I'm seeing that the demand is quite great. So we are looking for, after the Raya season, we are going to make a longer course. And at the end of the maybe 10 to 14 weeks of courses, they will have a small showcase for them to perform and feel how it's like to perform on stage. Yeah.
And what is the future for Gangsapura?
I think Gangsapura, at least maybe in 5 to 10 years, can be a traditional centre for Kuala Lumpur. That's our hope, that even for gamelan centre, we don't have a gamelan centre in Kuala Lumpur. So we are hoping that we can be the pioneer in promoting the traditional arts through our Gangsapura group.
So for me, I really hope for Gangsapura to own instruments and a place. What we want to promote is not just Malay gamelan, it's traditional performing arts in general. So we would like to have our own office and space so that we can further incorporate joget gamelan into our courses, wayang kulit, Ghazal, Asli.
To curate forum and seminars and performances.
Well, I hope you manage to achieve this dream because it sounds lovely.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Shamila.
No problem. Thank you.
I've been speaking to Teku Umar Ilani Teku Iskandar and Nordiana Nadira Shaharuddin. They are the co-founders of Gangsapura, a gamelan group that is offering a 4-week introductory course at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre that starts this weekend. For more information, you can visit gangsapura.com. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app, which is available on the App Store or Google Play. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.